You may be seated. It's cold. It's dark. It's wet. It's gloomy this time of year, isn't it? Boy, particularly some mornings you just get up and just kind of go, did the morning come today or not, you know? And it's at a time like that, there's a tendency for us sometimes not to embrace what's coming, not to believe God for what he wants to accomplish. Sometimes in our lives, we feel like the weather of our spirit is in the same spot, and we're not expecting God to do what only God can do. I'm someone who loves flower blossoms, as many of you know, and if you want to see blooms in the spring, this is the time when you've got to plant the bulb. You've got to bury a bulb. You've got to take a tulip bulb like this, and it will never look like this again. You're going to put it into that dirty ground. You're going to bury it in that cold, wet ground. Believe that something amazingly beautiful will come out of something that this looks very plain, very normal like this. And it seems almost impossible that the idea that you would take something, bury it, and if it dies, it will then bring forth something beautiful. But that's exactly what happens. And God has illustrated an amazing principle in nature that comes from the Word of God. That we will do, if we will submit to His plan for us, to submit to the impossible promises of God, that He will do something in your life beyond what you can imagine. He'll let it bloom. And Mary gives us an illustration of this, where she is given a promise today that's going to totally radically change her life, her body, her world, her reputation forever. And she has to choose whether or not she's going to believe the promise, but she provides a pattern for us. And so I'd like you to look with me at that as we talk today about the idea of being submitted to the impossible, to being willing to embrace the promise of God in a situation where you say, that's not possible for this to happen, and yet God can do what only God can do. And God always comes through if we will let Him, if we will cooperate with Him. So I want to talk about that today. So turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 1. We will continue in this part of the story. We saw last week that Zacchaeus was a couple of weeks before that. But Zacharias, as he was walking with God, he missed a major opportunity to glorify God. And he ended up being silent for 9 months, could not speak because he wouldn't believe. And what I want to talk to you about today is to challenge you with this thought. Are you willing to let God be God in your life? Are you willing to say, not my will, but yours be done? I want what you want in my life. You know, when we think about this, as we get ready to read this story of Mary, I want to remind you, we read this knowing the outcome. We read this knowing what happens in the end. And so we always read it. There's no tension for us. We know what's coming. But for Mary, she was laying down her life in this situation. She had dreams, friends. You don't know what she had a dream? She had a relationship. She had a fiancé. She had a family. She had hopes for a certain type of future. And when she came face to face with the plan of God, it was going to change everything. And God has a way of doing that in our lives, doesn't He? It changes everything. And some of you have said, never. And some of you said, I won't. And some of you said, I refuse. And you're in a spot where you may be missing the very plan of God. So let's look at this and see what we can learn from her for us today. It says now, verse 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. God is a particular, personal God, is He not? It's so amazing when you look at it. He says, in the sixth month. What sixth month? The sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. All right? So this is dating it back. So he's saying, okay, this work that I've begun and saying that the Messiah is coming, he says, now 6 months later, the same angel, you remember Gabriel, the guy that Zacharias said, how could this be? This angel is now standing in front of Mary and going to give a message. But he is sent, it says, from God. And remember, this is that thing we talked about last week, that God is sending truth into your life. God is sending promises into your life. God is sending hope to you. If you're willing to receive it, it'll bring you hope. It'll bring you life. And he sends it to a particular place, to a particular time, to a particular person with a particular background, in a specific relationship. Do you see all that? It's to a virgin. She's been living a particular lifestyle. Okay? Engaged to a man whose name was Joseph. There's a very specific and personal relationship there. Of the descendants of David. So they have a particular family line. And her name was Mary. Friends, God knows everything about you. And his plans include all that he knows. Sometimes when he comes to interrupt our plans, we're kind of looking at God going, don't you know? No, I didn't know that. I'm really sorry. Sorry, I wasn't aware you had other plans for your life. You know, God's got plans for you that are far beyond what you can comprehend. But they're not yours. That's what's always uncomfortable about God's plans. They're not the same as yours. And so you can push out against God when he comes into your life, or you can welcome it. And so he comes into her and he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept wondering what kind of salutation this was. What he literally says to her is, "Greetings, you are a blessed woman." And this young girl is looking at him going, "What are you talking about, blessed woman?" Because you understand the culture. Blessed woman meant babied woman. Okay? That was the mark of a blessing in their life for a lady. And he says, "Blessed, you are the favored one. God has favor on you. God is looking at you in this particular way." And she was perplexed at this statement and kept pondering, what kind of salutation is that? Why are you saying these things to me? Why would you call me favored by God? And right here, I want you to think about something, because everything I'm going to say today comes back to this concept. And God sees you different than you see you. And are you willing to adjust your eyesight to his view of you? To how he feels about you rather than how you feel about you? When you look in the mirror, when you look at the past of your life, when you look at the present of your life, when you look at what you think is going to be the future of your life, you see you, and you see you in a certain way. That's not how God sees you. God sees you for how he believes you can be. God sees you for what you can become. Not what you've been, but what his promises can do in you. And he sees you as favored. You are a graced person. Turn to look at that person next to you and tell them that. You are a graced person. Tell them. Go ahead. They need to hear it. You are a graced person. All right? The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. For you have found favor with God." See, fear comes in our lives and we don't think we're going to find favor. We don't think we're going to experience the blessing of God because we know what we've done, what we haven't done. We know what we've said or what we haven't said. We know the situations we've got ourselves into. We know the problems that we've created. And yet he says, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall name him Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will have no end." Friends, God reveals his plans to us to fulfill his promises through us. He is sharing with her the plan of God. He said, I've got a plan for you. Why? Because he wants to fulfill a promise. And friends, God puts promises in the book for you and for me that we might experience that part of life, that you might step forward into something that you have not yet been, that you have not yet encountered. He wants that for me. And so every day I get up, I'm wanting to step into that. Is that your desire? You say, okay, God, I want to walk with you today. I want to step into the promise of life that you have. There's something you have for me today that I could become if I would become, if I would believe you for it. And so he tells Mary, hey, you have found favor. You are a graced, doubly blessed woman. Those of you who are married, I want to tell you something, guys. You need to be giving your spouse this message. You need one of the great opportunities in relationship, and it doesn't have to be exclusive to marriage, but particularly in marriage, is to communicate to the person that God has placed in your life the blessings and the favor of God. That you would reveal to them how God feels about them. And you strengthen their identity in who they are. But friends can do that as well. You don't have to be married to do that. But in the marriage relationship, you have a unique and a specific responsibility to do this. And he says to her, do not be afraid. Now, why would he say, do not be afraid? Because she was feared. That's right. She was scared. She was scared in the angel situation. She's scared about the greeting. She's saying, what in the world is this about? And there's times in your life when you're looking at what's going on and you're saying, I don't particularly like this. I don't particularly feel comfortable with this. I mean, I know you're not like this, but you all know those people who've got their lives planned out and you want it to happen a certain way. And when all of a sudden God steps in and begins to adjust it, it bugs them because they've already got their life planned. They've already got the architecture done. They've already got the approval in their own mind and say, hey, this is what I'm going to do. And then God comes along and says, really? Do you think you're more creative than I am? More creative than the Creator. That's an interesting thought. You think about that one. And so he says, do not be afraid. You've found favor with God. And in any fear situation that you're in, this is an amazing thought to think back on. If you think about how favored you are with God, you've got nothing to be afraid of. Isn't that an amazing thought? You got nothing to be afraid of. I'm favored by God. I'm graced by God. God's at work in my life. I'm okay. But we experience fear. What's fear? You know what fear is? Fear is an acronym, friends. F-E-A-R. What's that stand for? False expectations about reality. You're expecting that you're going to experience a reality in the future where Jesus Christ will not be gracing you, where God will not be working for good, and so you're afraid. Oh no, something, what? Bad is going to happen. Okay? But God has already said he's always working for what? Good in your life. He's always working for good in your life. And so when I'm afraid, it's a false expectation about reality that means that God's not going to work. No, he is going to work. And he says, Mary, he says to her, do not be afraid. You see, Jesus Christ is with you both now and forever. True? If he's with you and he's gracing you, then it's going to be good. Now, I'm not saying it's not going to be painful. He promises us that too. I'm not saying it's not going to be difficult. He promises that too. But don't write painful and difficult as bad if God intends it for good. Does that make sense? So don't put down the promise of God in your life. He's graced you for a reason. I love this statement in Isaiah, one of the promises of God to Isaiah and to the people of God. And Isaiah 41:10, it says, I want to read this out loud with me. This is a great, if you've never memorized this, I'm hoping I read this to you guys enough times on Sunday morning, you'll memorize it with me. But do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Is that an amazing statement? Hey, don't. Now, right there in Isaiah, he's talking about horrible times that were going to come on Israel. But he says, you don't have to be afraid. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there. And if God is with you, you got enough. Right? We got enough. So, here she is. She's given this incredible promise. You're going to conceive in your womb. Okay, well, where else can you conceive? All right, but it's being very, very precise. And you're going to bear a son. It's not just you're going to have a baby. God never calls us a fetus. This is a child that's going to be born. And you shall name him Jesus. Now, it's interesting. We'll see next week that Joseph gets the exact same message. You're going to name him Jesus. So they're both told you will name. There's a specific. God has plans for children, friends. There's no accidents in this world. Adults make mistakes. God never does. All right? I don't care how you came into this world. You are not an accident. You are a part of the divine plan of God. Somebody needed to hear that today. I don't know who that was. That's not in my notes. It says, he will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Son of the Most High. This is far beyond what they had understood Messiah to mean. They understood Messiah, that he will have the throne of his father David. He's going to be a king. They were looking for a physical king. Son of the Most High. This takes it way beyond this. But you know what's awesome? Is our Bible's already told us that, didn't it? In Isaiah 9:6, what does it say? For unto us a child is born. Unto us, what? A son is given. And the government shall rest on his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And there'll be no end to his government or peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it from then on and forevermore. Now that was written 400 years before Jesus was born. And it said what? For unto us a child is born. Okay. Jesus was born as a baby by his mother Mary. But unto us a son was given. That is not a repeat of the same phrase. That is a turning. It's a doublet in the Hebrew there. And in this, he is stating something distinct. A child is being born, but the one from eternity was given and somehow supernaturally placed into that womb in the act of conception. So we have God and man blended together. A son was given. Jesus, the man, was born. But the Son of the Most High was there in the beginning. You can read it in John 1. You can read it in Genesis 1. He was there in the beginning. He has existed from all time. And he was somehow supernaturally placed into Mary's womb. He says, this one will be the Son of the Most High. And his reign is going to be forever. His kingdom will have no end. Once again, you go, wait a second. Every king has an end. Not Jesus. King Jesus is going to reign forever, friends. He's going to reign forever. We live in a world and in a system that's fallen apart, but our king is going to come and he's going to reign forever. So here's this promise. Wait a second. This is an impossible promise. How can God promise this? This can't happen. It's not physically possible. How could God become a man? This is impossible. This can't happen. Not only that, she's got a slight problem. She don't have a man. She's never been with a man. She's kept herself pure. How can I conceive? I've never had a relationship. Friends, she asked this question. You see it there? Verse 34. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" This is a marvelous thing that the Bible tells us, is this woman has lived this chaste and upright life. So she's not saying, "Oh, must be Fred. Oh, it must have been that other guy I was with. I wonder who he..." No, I can't possibly give birth because I have never had a relation with a man. I have kept myself pure. Now, when she asks this, "How can this be?" This is different than Zacharias asking, "How will I know this for certain?" A lot of times people think it's the same question. You know, Zacharias asked that question, "How will I know this for certain?" Now, what he was saying is, "How can I be sure that what you said is actually going to happen?" What Mary is saying, "How in the world are you going to do this? Because that doesn't occur naturally." Those are different questions. Zacharias was saying, "I don't believe that what you said will come about." Mary is saying, "I can't comprehend how what you say is going to come about." Those are totally different. All right? So here's the thing I want you to see. This is a principle. Is that God fulfills His promises through us. How? By exercising His power in us. Notice the explanation that the angel gives, because it's right here tied into this. That's why I came with this principle. The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God." Okay, if you didn't get that from the Son of the Most High, he puts it pretty clear here. Once again, he says, "This child will be the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has conceived a son in her old age, and she who is called barren is now in her sixth month, for nothing will be impossible with God." For nothing will be impossible with God. Did anybody hear me? Nothing will be impossible with God. Lots of stuff impossible with us. Nothing impossible with Him. So what's He say? He says that she asks the question, "How can this be?" He says, "God will fulfill His promise through you by exercising His power in you." Did you see that? He says that Holy Spirit is going to come. Friends, the work of God in your life is always done through the Spirit of God. He is the initiator of the work of God. We have the Word of God. And the Son of God, Jesus Christ, is called the Living Word. We have God the Father. But the work of the Father and the Son is expressed through the person of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And He was given at Pentecost to come and dwell in you, to live out His life through you. And so Mary's in this spot. She says, "How can this be?" And His answer is the Holy Spirit. Some of you are looking at impossible situations in your life. You're looking at impossible problems in your life, and you're saying, "How can this be?" And the answer is the Holy Spirit. Did anybody hear me there? The answer is the Holy. That's His answer. You say, "I can do this through me, not through you. I'll do it in you, but I'm the one who does it." It is His work. It is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do His good pleasure, it says in Philippians 2:13. Listen, we don't understand how this stuff comes about, but get this. Don't doubt God's promises just because you can't comprehend God's processes. You can't figure it out. I'm here to tell you something very refreshing. You don't have to. You don't. We want to know. We want to have it. Nope. Don't need to know. Went through Revelation again this last week. I ain't got that book figured out yet. How's He going to do all this stuff? What's this going to look like all at the end? I ain't got it figured out yet. But I do know this. He is coming in the end. He's coming with the reward. It's going to be good in the end. It's going to be bad before it gets good. I can't figure it all out. I don't have to. I can still believe what I can't fully understand. Amen. I can fully believe what I don't fully understand. Don't exalt your mind above your spirit. The Bible tells us again and again, what? Do not lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Don't exalt your mind. God's given you a mind, but don't put that over your heart and what the Word says. So she can't possibly comprehend this, so he says, I'm going to do it by the Holy Spirit. Here's another way of looking at it. See, you don't have to know the how. You just have to trust the who. You with me on that? You just trust what he'll do this. Okay, that's God's job. God can take care of that. And sometimes that's exactly what you need to do with that stuff that you're worried about, that stuff that you're frustrated about. You say, you know what? That's your job. You show me what I'm supposed to do. I got to leave the results with you. I have to keep being taken back to there again and again. I want to control the outcome. That's not my job. I'm supposed to control myself, not the outcome. I'm supposed to let him control me. All right? So Philippians 2:13 says this again, and it says, for it is God who is at work in you. It's God who is at work in you. Tell that person next to you that truth. God's at work in you. Tell him. God's at work in you. And he's at work in you to will and to do what? His good pleasure. See, now some of you need to tell that person that, and that they need to tell it back to you because you're trying to do a work in them. You know what I'm talking about? See, some of you, you're trying to do that changing stuff still in another person. It ain't your job to change that other person. It's your job to love that person. It's your job to accept that person. It's your job to forgive. Yes, yes. Forgive that person. He does the changing. It's him who's at work. He's at work. Now, if it's God's at work in you to will and to do his good pleasure, then I can release the outcome to God. I can release the results to God because that's God's work. And that can bring you a source of peace. You say, what did he tell me to do? I'll do it. And then whatever happens after that, that's God's business. Some of you parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, you do what God's called you to do, and you're going to have to leave it with God. Are you with me here yet? You so want to see this happen a certain way, you don't get to choose that. You do, you be who God's called you to be, and you let God do that work. And by the way, when you're all stressed out about that, trying to make that happen, you're not cooperating with the one who's trying to do the work. So get your hands off it. Let him work through you. Quit trying to be God and let God be God in your life. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
All right. I know you said it for the person next to you, but that's okay. That's all right. All right. All right. Listen. He puts the Spirit inside of us to empower us to do the will of God. I don't have the ability to obey. Sometimes people get this thing confused. You hear me up here speaking with a gift, and you see me walking a certain life. You say, man, James, that's just... Don't you ever think what you see in James is James. It is the Spirit of God working through James to do. And every now and then, some of you have been close enough to me, you see some of James. I don't get too excited about that. You know, I'm always afraid of that. You know, some Sunday morning you're going to show up, God's not going to show up, and it's going to be ugly. Okay? But it's God's at work in you. And when you just present yourself to him, you prepare. I study, I prepare, and believe God's going to speak on a Sunday morning. But I got to get up here and do what he told me to do. And believe what? That he's going to work in you. Lord knows I've tried to change some of you, and I ain't succeeded. He will fulfill his promises. He says, for that reason, the Holy Child might be called the Son of God. Did you say that in your Bible? Shall. God fulfills his promises, friends. All right? God does what God declares he will do. Said in John 1 verse 12, it says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on his name, who were born not of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. As many as received him, he gives the right to become a child of God. That's his promise. He does what he declares. You have to trust that. The question is, have you received the Son? This very one we're talking about is available for you in relationship. The Bible says you need to receive him. You need to open your life up to him. Even as we're going to see, Mary is going to be asked, she's been given a promise, but then she has to choose how she's going to respond to the promise. Are you with me? And she's going to have to do what? She's going to have to receive. Have you ever thought of this way? She's going to have to receive the Son of God. That's literally what she has to do. She has to receive the Son of God as imparted into her by the Holy Spirit. Is that not what God's still doing today? If you'll open up your heart, and he wants to impart his Son into your life. Friends, God does what God declares. He does it in you. He does it upon you through the Holy Spirit. And so you can become a testimony of truth. When you go ahead and plant the bulb, when you bury the bulb and you say, okay, God, I'm going to let you be displayed in my life, then there's going to come a blossom up. And that's going to tell everybody else, this is what God does when you die to yourself. This is what God does when you submit to him. And it's interesting. That's the next thing that he brings to Mary's attention, because she's trying to wrap her mind around this whole thing. Some of you got some situations, even as I talk about it, I can see it on your faces. You're going, oh, wait a minute, how would that work? What's that going to look like? And I lost you a while ago because you're off thinking about how this is going to work out in your life. Come back. Come back. All right. Verse 36, it says, and behold, your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. This is so cool. I love the personalness of God. So this angel is standing here in front of Mary, and Mary's got this deer in the headlights. Wouldn't you? What are you thinking? You can't possibly undertake and comprehend all this stuff that's in front of her right now. Just boom. You know, it wasn't like, oh, by the way, this is going to come up. You're going to see an angel today. Da, da, da. No, this is not in the schedule. She's staring at him, and all of a sudden he just kind of brings it back to reality with this little illustration. He says, oh, and you remember your Aunt Elizabeth? Yeah, the old barren lady. She's 6 months PG. I don't think Mary knows yet. Do you? No, she didn't have emails, didn't have telephones, didn't have faxes. She is 70 miles away. And remember, she did not come out till her fifth month. Remember, we read that last week. She didn't let anybody even know. So that news has taken 4 weeks, has not gotten to Nazareth yet. So Mary is all of a sudden going, what? She's 65. She's pregnant? 6 months? God gives us illustrations to help us comprehend the work of God in our lives. But you know what the illustration is? It's you in somebody else's life. You're God's illustration. You're the bloom of God that somebody else needs to look at and go, oh, if he can do it with that old woman, if he can do it with that old man, see, if he can do it with that person, then surely he could. Do you see what I'm saying? You're a testimony that God is faithful. You're a testimony that God is powerful. You're a testimony that God will keep his promise. When you walk in faith, you become a blossom for other people to look at. You become this invitation to trust. And so it's a powerful thing. Listen. And then he says this. This just caps the whole thing. This, by the way, is my life verse. A lot of people don't understand why this is my life verse. It says, nothing will be impossible with God. If you know me the way I know me, you understand what he's doing is impossible. What I see him do through me is impossible. It couldn't happen. Wouldn't be possible. But God can do what only God can do, if you'll believe him for that. So he says, nothing will be impossible with God. Would you say that with me? Nothing will be impossible with God. Some of you haven't said that, so we're going to say it until you do. Okay, nothing will be impossible with God. You've got something going on in your life. You have some situation in your life, and you just said, okay, God will never bring good out of this. God will never, and you have written off something that God says, don't you dare write that off because nothing is impossible with me. True? Here's the issue. Most of us have absolutely no problem believing that God can. My God's that big. I believe that God can. Problem is believing in the greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. See, believing that nothing is impossible with God is not that hard for most people. It's just a theological truth you lock into some side of your box and you say, oh, that's true, God's big. He can do anything. It's believing that the God that is big wants to do big things in you. That's where we have trouble. Believing that God says, you're the favored one. I want to do an impossible work in you. That's where you're stopping. That's where you're pushing back. That's where you're saying, I don't believe it. I've never seen it. I'm not. It's not by sight, friends. It's by faith. Will you believe what you cannot comprehend in the process and say, God, you're good. You're true. You're righteous. I'll accept that. Listen, God can do anything. And when the angel states this, nothing will be impossible with God. He is inviting her. He is inviting you. He's inviting me. What? To faith. He's inviting us to submit to the truth. He's inviting us to embrace that. He says, God can do all He promises to do in you. God will do all He promises to do in you. You can trust Him with you. It's not just that God can, it's that God will. There is a big shift in your relationship. You know, you could say to that person next to you, we can get married. That is not the way most people approach it. All right? You say, I'm going to make a commitment to this. I'm going to enter into this relationship. I want you to marry me. I will trust you with my life. That's this issue that God's saying. Will you trust me? Listen, the Bible says a lot of things, doesn't it? A lot of declarations. You go through that New Testament, there's a lot of different commands. Nothing's impossible with God. So whatever situation you're up against, I want you to understand that when the commands of Scripture are there, there's nothing impossible for God to do. There's nothing impossible for God to deliver you from. Galatians 5:16 says, if we walk by the Spirit, what? You will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Question. Where are you stuck in flesh? See, some of you got stuck in snow this last week. You understand what that's like? You spin those wheels, you can spin them. Isn't it funny driving by somebody else that's stuck? It's not fun being that person, but it's funny driving side by somebody else that's stuck. And what do? They punch it harder. Isn't that right? Spins, so just accelerate the tires. Surely that will make them grip better because they're not gripping at all now. People do some stupid stuff, don't they? Okay, are you doing the same thing? Are you just spinning your wheels? He says, if you walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. You won't spin your wheels. You will walk it out. There will be something displayed in you. In any situation where the flesh is overrunning you, you can walk by the Spirit right there. Right there. There is no area that it can defeat you. None. You can be defeated. You don't have to be defeated. Do you understand the difference between those two? You can choose to say, I will let the flesh run me. You can present yourself to your refrigerator. Medicate me. I want to feel better. I mean, some of you use the legal drugs. I mean, some of you are into the illegal drugs, but some of you use the legal drugs, right? You just go, hey, this will make me feel better. I will present myself to this. No, I'm asking you to present yourself to God and say, I want you to be my comfort. I want you to be my peace. I want you to be my victory. And I want to walk over this. I've walked under this my whole life. I've been defeated my whole life. I'm tired of that. I want to trust you. You said nothing will be impossible. Amen. Let it happen. By choosing to submit to the truth. By choosing to embrace what He has said. Now, Let me try and be as practical as I can. Because here's what I think we do sometimes. I've definitely done it. We get a promise from God, and then we begin to plead with God about the promise. Oh God, would you please do this in my life? Would you please do this in my life? All right. Mary gets a promise. And she says, behold, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done unto me according to your word. She gets a promise, and she says what? You make it happen. I'm here available. She submits herself to that completely. What I find people do oftentimes is now they say, oh God, would you please do this? Would you please do this? No, he already told you he's going to do it. Would it be foolish for me to stand up here and say, oh God, would you please give me a Bible? Would you please give me a Bible? Would you please give me a Bible? And the rest of you are going, you're nuts. You've already got one in your hand, right? When God gives you a promise, it's in your hand. You don't have to ask him for it anymore. You have to submit yourself to it, walk it out. Quit asking, oh Lord, would you please give me the power? He already gave you the power. He gave you the Holy Spirit. Would you please give me the victory? He already gave you the victory. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. You have what you need to be the person God has called you to be. You need to believe it, and God will do it. How do we get there? This is our third point. Submission to God's plan is essential to fulfill God's purpose. We want to run it our own way. You don't want to submit. God works through willing servants. Look at that there again with Mary. She hears this whole thing. Her whole life, her whole dream flashes before her eyes, and it has just gone whoosh right out the door. God's got something bigger for you than you can possibly imagine. And here's what she says. Behold, the independent thinker of the Lord. Some of you, that's what you'd have to write in there. Isn't that right? Yeah. If this is about you, you have to write in it. Behold, the independent thinker. No. She says, behold, the bond slave. A bond slave was a person who chose for life to serve their master out of love. And they would have their ear put up against the doorpiece, and they would be drilled in such a way that it would be a mark that would tell everybody, I am serving my master out of love for a lifetime. So she says to God, I will serve you out of love for a lifetime. Here I am. I'm presenting myself to you. You take me. You use me. Behold, the bondslave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. She takes the promise of God. Right? She applies it to herself. Let it be done to me. I submit to what you said. You produce this in my life. Submission is God's plan. It's essential to fulfill God's purpose. She had to say yes. She's had the whole plan laid out in front of her. I am laying it out in front of you. This is God's plan for you to walk in victory. This is God's plan for you to reveal Jesus Christ to this world. This is God's plan for you to become a believer by submitting to Jesus Christ, by trusting him with your life. I'm going to give you this plan, but you have to submit to that. You have to plant the bulb. You got to bury it. You got to be willing to die to yourself. Because when she says, be it done to me, everything that she wanted to have done to her goes out the window. Because God's going to do it completely different than what she wanted and what she thought. She's going to have to go tell a fiance I'm pregnant. Can you imagine a conversation with her daddy? Or with her mom. I mean, it's tough enough to try and tell your parents you're pregnant. Some of you ladies have had to do that. That's a hard conversation. But you're going to try and tell them I'm pregnant by God? You go ahead and work on that story for a while. That's a pretty hard story to try and tell somebody. And go ahead and try and tell it to the neighbors. Yeah, they're going to buy that. She's going to live the rest of her life with her morality and her integrity questioned because she submitted herself to God. Some of you are afraid of what's going to happen to you if you yield your life to God. I'm not here to promise you it's going to get better. I'm not here to promise you it's going to be sweet. I'm here to promise you that when you submit your life to God, God will fulfill your life in a way like you can't imagine. And you'll bring him glory. So she submits. She says, be it done unto me according to your will. Friends, this promise, this principle is all the way through your Bible. You know it, many of you, very, very well. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. You remember that verse? What's it say? Read it with me. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Isn't that what we're talking about? Present yourself to God. That's what she says right here. Here I am. I'm available. Friends, to do what God intends you to do, you got to die to self. You have to plant the bulb. Okay? This bulb here, I can tell you what will happen if it don't plant it. It will shrivel up and die. It may have a little shoot come out of it for a while, and then that shoot will die. If it doesn't get in the ground, it will never become what it can be. How do I know? Because I've done it with a whole bunch of bulbs that I've bought and never planted. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've done that same thing, haven't you? You had the great idea and you never get it in the ground. And that's what the promises of God are in your life. There are so many promises that have shriveled up and died that God wanted to bloom in your life, but you never put it in the ground. You never said, I will die to myself and I will let him do what he wants to do in this relationship, with this habit, with this problem, with this situation. I will say yes to God and no to myself. And when you plant the bulb, you bury the bulb, you're going to give God the opportunity to get the glory. Because only God can make it come back up and bloom. Friends, you're at a defining decision moment in your life right here today. And it can change the direction of your life forever. It really can. Whether you'll say yes to God or not. Will you say, I'm yours? You're my Lord. I'm yours, you're mine. You see, presenting yourself to God aligns you with God's plan. It aligns you with God's purposes. It allows His thing to be displayed in you. You just line up with Him. But you got to make a choice. When we say He is Lord, it means He's the boss. I turn over control to Him. I humble myself before Him. Because our faith is expressed by our submission. See? You won't plant it unless you believe it's going to bloom. Who's going to go out and dig a hole, put something in it just because it's going to do nothing? No, you won't do that. It's when you anticipate with joy that there will someday be a bloom if I do what I need to do, then your faith submits to that and it acts on that. Faith is not a head thing. It's an action thing. It'll always lead to a result in your life. So our faith is expressed by our submission to God's word and to His promise. Okay, we talked about what fear is, right? Well, what's faith? All right, God's looking for faithful people, people of faith. He wants you to be a person who will trust Him. That means you are going to be faithful. You're going to be available. All right? You're going to be initiating. You will plant it. You will do something with the truth that He has given to you. And you will be a person of humility. Teachable and humble are essential for what God wants to do in our lives. That's what it means to be a person of faith. So here's the hard question. As you look at your life right now, don't. It's a little tough to look back, but there's gardens that never got planted. There's stuff that you have not done. And you cannot change the seasons that have gone by. You can only work with the season that you're in. And this feels like winter to you, but you have to plan for spring right now. Particularly when it comes to tulips. You got to plan for that right now. So what are we going to say? Where have you refused a promise in the past? Where have you said, I'm not planting there. I'm not working that field. I'm not going to change. It has to do with, I think, usually three things. A habit, a relationship, or a decision. There's something that's been beating you up in your life. It's a habit. It has been there so stinking long. You're just like, I'm not saying you haven't prayed. I'm not saying you haven't tried. What I'm saying is, the Bible says if you walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. You have not experienced victory over that. That area, that habit, will you tell God, let's plant a bulb right there. Some of you, it's a relationship. You are not displaying the love of Christ towards your spouse. You are not in a humble, respectful relationship with your spouse. Are some of you in a relationship that you're not supposed to be in? It might be on the internet. It might be a fantasy relationship. But I'm here to tell you that you need to plant a bulb and say, God, I'm going to die to myself right here. I'm going to let you be displayed here. And then there's some decisions. Some of you are looking at your life. Where is this going? What's this next thing I'm supposed to do? Will you let God be God in that decision and say, I will die to myself. You display yourself in me. Friends, I don't know what it'll cost you, but I can tell you what it cost Mary. Everything except the glory of God. And the joy forever. The testimony that you and I are still rejoicing in 2,000 years later, that this lady said, God, you be God in my life. And he was, and he is, and he will be for you. Submit to the impossible by believing his promise, and your life will never be the same. It'll bloom. Let's pray. Father,